I thought we'd have meeting here because this is where Helen always was when you got together, and so I thought that you would enjoy being here. She's just in the other room. It's labeled Heaven, and she can probably hear everything we say, so it would be really nice if you could only say very, very nice things about her. She would enjoy that, and you'll get your rewards later. So, why don't we take just a couple of minutes and just get quiet and remember her? Oh, how beautiful the flowers! And remember her as you remember her, how your experiences with her still rest in your heart. Okay. Okay. Is that set so that other people's pictures aren't coming up, but just mine? I mean, they'll see me big.
Yes.
Okay. Don't know how these things all work. I'm still an amateur. I've been doing it for years. Amateur.
You should have a mic.
You're going to have to talk loud because you don't have a microphone on. I'm going to have to talk loud.
Beth can hear you, but I don't
But
know if that
can
makes
you hear
sense.
me back there when it's
Yes.
loud? Okay, hearing aids don't count. You can only hear backwards, not forwards, right? I know the problem. I deal with the problem every day. The title of today's talk is Which King Rules? The great pretender to the throne called the ego, the biological ego, or the king who is over the earth and creation. In the opening phrase of the Lord's Prayer, it says, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're talking about king. King of all. King. But who's sitting in the seat of authority in your being? What motivates you? The King of Kings or the ego? The pretender. Now we can say over and over and over again, we want to be in touch with spirit and God, and then we aren't. We march through our day on patterns of learned behavior from society and from just, I'm sorry, but the back window is like reflecting too much light in my eyes. I can't see a thing. It's so nice to have light, but worse. It's worse. Close this one here. Yeah, thank you, dear.
Okay, do that too.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
funny though, the white of the screen that you put
Yeah.
just intensified the
Okay.
light. Oh well, you know how getting old and decrepit is. So the problem is that because we've been conditioned from birth to want things of the body and this all of the senses, and so we want Baba, we want toys, we want attention, we want, objects, the latest in clothing styles, we want to have a job, we want to, we want, we want, we want. Is that really God talking? Is that really spirit talking? Is that what drives our days? Unfortunately. So our friend Hafiz says, from man's perspective, in this extraordinary game of life, it is so easy to become confused and think you are the doer. But from God's infinite certainty, He always knows He is the only one who should ever be put on trial. So even though we don't tune in, we're still being managed by the intention of God to teach us things. So it's a setup to see when we will become cognitively, consciously aware that God is the doer and downtrain and outtrain the biological ego. And that's the job for enlightenment. That's why so few people are enlightened, is because they can't downtrain the impulses of the biological ego. It's a trial. This whole thing is an exercise in seeing which choices we can make eventually to see if we really want the King of Kings to be in charge. So is Pinocchio in charge, or is the carver of Pinocchio in charge? Who's pulling the strings? Yeah, who's pulling the strings? So over and over again, we make, let's say, not great choices because we are conditioned. Somebody's coming. This one is called Certainty. Oh, yes, this is true. I'm sorry, I'm having to work with my iPhone, and I usually use my iPad, and I can't see anything. Okay, an unfortunate one. This is from the Tao. An unfortunate one is a rootless. He is walk his walk a mad angel's gait. Remember our camp of saunter? Insolent steps of one thrown from heaven. To toil in red dust as if he had not had enough in a thousand previous lifetimes. Been here, done that. Where is his heart? Where is his soul? To call this heaven's will is a cheap answer. So it's God that is to blame, but you don't get to blame God until you know within your heart of hearts, minute by minute, day by day, that God's in charge, and you can only know that if you're quiet in the heart, quiet, waiting on the orders of the king. That is the crux of being in the man body. The mind is in spinning wheels, navel, heart, throat, head. The connecting shaft is empty, emptiness. The open shaft is emptiness without an obstruction on the route. That is the only way that true spiritual energy can flow. The pipeline through the body needs to be open, neutralized from contraction. The problem is biology. The soul is in a biological chemical factory. And so, if we don't manage the chemicals, we don't manage the connection. So, it's not a moral issue, it's a biological issue. That's why they call it the divine science of the soul. It's science. So, you might call it biology 101 through 1001. You have to learn how to manage your biological self. And since birth, you haven't. Because from birth, you're encouraged to get in touch with your bio rhythms of chemicals. To learn, to move, to get, to want, to see, to hear. All of these things are connected to biology. And biology is an obstruction unless it's centered. It's always doing a right, left, up, down. It is dual system, it's electrically charged, and electricity is negative, positive charges. There's no negative in God. So there's no just positive in God. There is one frequency in God. And we don't get it. We don't get how to manage our chemistry. We think we have to do morals. Morals have good morals and bad morals. That's what we've been coping with this whole last lifetime. And it's been increased because we're in what we might call a polarized attention around politics and life and what's right and what's wrong and what's up and what's down. What's quiet? What's neutral? And we can't get there because we're so heavily conditioned. And that's the war. And you can hear it, but what does it actually do to change your behavior? What does it do to change your chemistry? Yes, yes, yes. We have an opportunity. Those who attain the middle dominate the whole. The idea that you come to the center from the poles of good and bad to neutral makes you available to the input from the one God, the King of Kings. And that puts you in alignment to reorganize the matter of your body, the biology of your body. But you have to want to get there to get there. You have to remember that that's the journey. It's not being good. You want to be good. You've been taught your whole life, be good, don't be bad. Be the little good girl, be, you know, be a handsome, strong, capable, talented boy. You know, you've got all kinds of rhetoric that plays it again, Sam, in your head over and over again. If you don't do this, you won't get a raise. If you don't do that, you won't win a gold medal. If you don't do this. And that. So it's this repetition that you've become addicted to listening to and don't know it. Millions and millions of bits of data can fire in your brain simultaneously in a split second. And you can only cognitively process anywhere from 1 to 10, most 15 in a second. You see what the problem is? And if you claim to want to be in tune with spirit, then you have to do what gets you in touch with spirit. Just to help remind you, joy uses dopamine, serotonin, which is known as the happiness hormone, endorphins, which minimize pain and can create a sensation of euphoria under conditions and happiness. Oxytocin, love and bonding. Endocannabinoids, noise. I'm sorry. Can't even remember anything. Okay. But there, what cannabis has in some chemical format, but what they do is they relax the nervous system and they can produce the sense of elevated mood. But they are self, they're indigenous, they're not from cannabis, but they are like cannabis. And it lowers the stress factor. However, we have to deal with the negative chemicals, which then are cortisol. Now they're continually, cortisol is so automatic in our systems. The minute you get tense, you produce lots of cortisol. And that cortisol will reorganize the chemistry of your body. And it also uses dopamine as a reward if you've, like, say, had a meal you like, or you got to have chocolate or a few other things. And the dopamine, it's like the training of the dog with the bell. You can take away the meal, ring the bell, and the dog salivates. And you do the same. You salivate after things that you thought were important or rewarding, whatever. Whatever it is. A new dress, a great meal, a job interview that went well. You can get addicted to that. And that high, that is a dopamine reward, and it patterns you to want that. Yeah. So it's a trial by trial. The one who attains the middle dominates the whole. So not goody goody two shoes and not batty batty. Those are over here. So always imagine that there's a triangle. And as far out as you can go is, let's say, the worst human behavior and the best in morality. The idea of goodness. Okay. And all the way up, they can get closer, closer, closer to the top when they finally meet. And you can work your way up, or you can go straight to the middle and neutralize and go up all the way. If God is the doer and love is the universal energy in the middle, if you keep coming to that relaxed middle, non-judgmental place, and as I keep using the example because it's clear, the kicking of the dog whom you'd like to strangle and the dog whom you want to protect and you feel sorry for, both are God. There's nobody down here but God in all kinds of costumes. Can we get it? Can we move to the middle, non-judgmental? Stop judging everything we see or do. And it's the only way that we can finally open up straight through the nervous system of the body and get the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight and flight, the idea of danger or loss or incompetence or anything that makes you produce cortisol. Anything that makes you produce the chemicals of tension. That's what we want to get over. So the reason it's called the divine science of the soul, what else could you call it? Is it science or isn't it science? And if it's science, It has methodology. So in the world of duality, we are trying to neutralize the extreme outer points, get them closer and closer and closer, so that we are judging less and less and less. Judge not, lest ye be judged. How can we do that? It's all God. That's how you do it. But you have to believe it. That's the problem. You can say it, it's all God. Can you believe it's all God? Not if you're conditioned and you haven't reconditioned your biology. So there's nothing horribly wrong with anybody, theoretically. But there's nothing wonderful about anybody either. Sorry, I know you were hoping for wonderful. But anyway, that's probably why you don't exercise towards it, because you want it to be wonderful, don't you? Don't you want to be wonderful? Of course you do. You want to be wonderful at something. So, you know, general term, wonderful will do. Cover the whole shelf, you know. You're wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. But is it neutral? If you're on a teeter-totter and you're not in balance, one is up and one is down, it's stressful, isn't it? It's stressful to be out of balance. And you know what? It's exactly the same thing in your nervous system. If you're out of balance in your nervous system, in your biology, you're stressed. And when you're stressed, cortisol rules the roost, and you are tense. And that tension prevents you from hearing the inspiration of your soul. Your soul connects with you when you're in balance. Now, it runs the show. That's why God is the only doer, but you don't know it. You really don't know it because you're out of balance biochemically. Are you using your senses, or are you quieting your senses to a rest point? That's why be still and know Godness. Be still and know Godness. So, walking fast, why we take the exercise of walking slow, hurry, and worry kill the man. Now, the reason the masters pair those two together, because when you hurry, you are releasing all of the biochemicals of stress. And when you worry, you're releasing the biochemicals of stress. And stress prevents you from rest. You can't rest. You can't wait until the mud settles. You've got to have an answer now. Be quick, be fast. You see? Hurry and worry kill your receptivity. They just do. It's not, you're not bad. You're out of touch. And you can't pretend you're in touch because you're out of touch. Hurry and worry keep you from being in touch. The soul is not in a hurry. Do you think God's in a hurry? You really think that the creator of all creation is in a hurry to get to the bus stop on time? Anyway, see. Or to be cute, clever, rich, poor, you know, whatever. Talented, smart, clay. God power is somewhere way beyond that. He's put you in a really dorky machine. That is from generation after generation, pre-programmed and biologically preset to have endorphins and cortisol and all the chemicals that can make you hurry and worry. But he also, with the sensory modes, has put you in a body that has endorphins that relax you. There's endorphins that train you, negative or positive. You have to keep rewarding the endorphin system with positive relaxation. So it learns that it's good to be relaxed. It feels good to relax. The problem when we have been conditioned to want and need and, you know, are upset when we don't get what we want as a little child, we get really hyperventilated when we don't get what we want as a child. And so that training early on carries through our whole life in a, let's say, an underlying theme to get upset when we don't get what we want. Now, the Eastern religions basically talk about not wanting, non-attachment. You ever seen a Westerner that's detached? Give me a break. Ever seen a little kid that isn't attached? What about my teddy bear? What about my special blankie? How attached are they? Try and take them away from me. You have to give them a substitute and put the blankie in the washers. You can wash it once in a while, right? What are we all attached to? And don't know it. It's playing again, Sam, in the background. It's just playing again. Thousands of little replications of what you want, what you need. Why isn't it this way? Why is it that way? It's science. It's biology. You're not bad. You're biological wacko. And that's the test. Will you down train and out train your biology of separation so that your connectedness can happen? I don't think in the beginning it's going to be trumpets and, you know, angels flying around. It will come in a quiet inspiration. Why do all the scientists and writers and artists and that always say it just came to me like a bolt out of the blue? A bolt out of the blue. It dawned on me. Dawned on you? Why do we use light phrases? It was like a light going on. And I saw clearly what I needed to do. Now we have all those phrases in our let's say, history of interfacing socially and talking and that sort of thing. Well, I don't contemplate it. The information came from light. Make sure that the light within you has not become darkness. In other words, cortisol and all our friendly chemicals of tension usurp the light and keep you from the data from the light field of the spirit. So, yeah, it's work. It's the late, great work. Up for it? That's what you thought you were signing up for. Only you didn't think it was going to be work. The master was going to wave a magic wand and everything would happen and it would be easy. Ask yourself how many thoughts you have that have nothing to do with the spirit. Nothing inspired from the dawning of the light. Unless you wear yourself down to a frazzle trying to solve a problem, you lay your head down on the desk and say, and you drift out and into alpha wave, and then bang, the light went on, and you have an answer to the problem you've been working on for 30 years that you couldn't solve. That's how it goes. 30 years of BS to get you so tired, you'll shut up, get calm, get quiet, get to alpha wave, and get inspired. Oh, my. Listen. So all the fun things that we think are important to do take precedent over the most important thing not to do. Get quiet. Not, you can't get quiet. You have to reorganize the matter to get quiet. And you don't want to do that because you don't realize that it's so valuable. You don't realize it's so valuable to get quiet, to give up worry, to give up hurry. So you go on hurrying and worrying. What good is that doing you, the spirit, other than wearing you out? Maybe if you get worn out enough, you'll sit down and get settled and let the mud settle, and you might get an inspiration, like getting up and make spaghetti for Uncle Harry, but you didn't know it. You just got up and wondered why you're standing in the kitchen making spaghetti. Uncle Harry is ringing the doorbell. You go to the door and there's Uncle Harry. Uncle Harry's favorite meal is spaghetti. You were inspired. You thought you were meditating. And you wondered why you got up and went and made spaghetti. That's how it works. So sitting quietly and joyfully and open-heartedly, you're opening up the vagus nerve system. It goes from the brain down through all of the systems of your body that control all your organs. And the vagus nerve needs an open pipeline, uncongested by cortisol, uncongested by the dopamine, uncongested, open, because you relax. You stop producing the negative, positive chemicals. You just, and you think you're doing nothing. You think you're doing nothing. What a wonderful idea. You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing. You're supposed to do nothing. God is doing it all. Why are you doing it all? Well, he doesn't get the paycheck. Okay. There you are, back in the child brain, the conditioned repertoire of chemistry. You just bit the royal apple of duality. Wasn't it Eve in the Garden of Eden that was tempted by the serpent to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It's right there. It's at the beginning of the Bible. She took the apple of knowledge of good and evil. Duality. They were happy and content in the garden. They didn't have to do anything. Things came to them. Adam and Eve, naked, not afraid, just present was there. And then she was tempted to take a bite out of the apple of the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. The fruit of the tree of knowledge is duality. And ever since, we've been playing the game. So when do we get it? How long does it take to digest your participation with reconditioning your biology to the quiet place, not the good place? Good is part of the duality. You see, you want to go to the center. God is in the kicker and the kicked. God is the kicker and the kicked. If God is the only doer, who else can it be? But you can't digest that on a regular, spontaneous level because you don't believe it when you rest. You don't even want to know how to see God in everything. Do you want to see it? Or don't you? It's a nice statement. Sounds good. But do you really want it? Do you ask to see the God? Do you ask to see the God in the opposites? Don't be fooled by goody-goody-two-shoes any more than you're fooled by batty-batty. The middle is where we want to go. God is the doer. How can God be the doer of everything and you remain running back and forth? You see? Up the pyramid of duality rather than up the center of neutrality. The one who can neutralize life is closer. So I know you hear that from me and you hear that from me, but you don't hear it from yourself. And so I have to keep saying it to you because you don't lock on to it and stay with it until it changes you biologically. If you don't change your biology, your habituation, that's why sitting still and joyfully Just even sitting and smiling, doing a smiling meditation, changes your biochemistry closer to the center. Closer to the center. We want to go to the center. We want to go to neutral. We don't want to go to goody-goody two-shoes anymore. We want to go to batty-batty. We want to be neutral so that we can, quote-unquote, open the channel to light and ding, the light goes on. When you're neutral, the light can go on. When you're in strings, no, you see. Well, that's the old story. Since the dawn of time, it's the same story. And we're just in an evolutionary process, and we're in an evolutionary process. You're hearing it in a very clear way, which many people don't, because they're just not ready. Even if they heard it, it would be like water off a duck's back, right? And it's kind of like water off your backs. At times, it's just not there. It's not available because you haven't downtrained your biochemistry enough. So hurry and worry become the king again. The ruler, the ego, becomes the ruler as opposed to the light. Oh, what a game. What a game. All right. It's been really kind of focused. And there's a jumping dog at the door out there.